You got to dig the layout of the courtroom because, like, our table is right next to the prosecution table. And so we spend most of the time during the trial making personal vicious attacks on the four prosecution attorneys. Thomas Ferran, Richard Schultz, these are the characters. I'm going to be referring to them a lot, so I want you to get to know them. Richard Schultz, Thomas Ferran. Richard Schultz is Jewish, by the way. Julius Hoffman is Jewish, by the way. Just like when Bobby Seale, when the whole Bobby Seale thing was going on, they brought in every black marshal they could find from here to South Africa. And the whole room became all of a sudden filled with black federal marshals. They even removed the stenographer and brought in a black stenographer from some other courtroom. So like Schultz, and then there's the FBI agent Stanley, and then there's this, I don't even want to mention him, just a thin little guy, he's the Justice Department representative, just sits there, hasn't said a word the whole trial, just sort of sits there the whole trial. So when Schultz came back to his seat, I went over to him and said, and started razzing him and saying, you would have made a good prosecutor in Germany, you missed your calling, you know. And Schultz usually jumps up and says, will you tell the defendant Rubin to stop talking to me and insulting my religion and insulting my morality? You know, he says it in front of the jury. So this time I razzed him, and he turned to me, and he pointed to me, and he said, quietly, he said, why don't you go to the bathroom? Smiled, like he won a big victory. So I jumped up and said, Judge, will you tell this prosecutor to stop insulting me, to stop attacking me, to stop telling me that I should go to that bathroom, like it's a big victory to make us go to a bathroom in a jail? Then I sat down, and I said, I'd rather pee on you. And he... then he got up, and he said... I'm sorry, Judge, you're right. I succumbed. I did say he should go to the bathroom. But these defendants have been harassing me for 4 months. They've been insulting me, and they've been doing that to police and other authorities all of their lives. And then Leonard Weinglass got up and said, I demand a mistrial. That's about the thousandth demand for a mistrial. Judge Hoffman said, this isn't for Judge Hoffman said, never in my 50 years on the bench have I seen such defendants with such bad manners. Everybody's always saying, never in my, you know, judge says, never in my 50 years. Ferran gets up and says, never in my 20 years as a prosecutor have I ever seen such thing. Counsel gets up and says, never in my 15 years as a defense counsel have I ever seen everything. We get up and say, never in our 10 years as agitators have we ever seen anything like in this courtroom. See, like, the trial is on one level very funny, and like, but we're prohibited from laughing. Well, the marshal ordered the defendants to stop laughing. Mark Lane was a witness the other day, and he had a pipe in his mouth. And the judge says, take that pipe out of your mouth in my courtroom. You know, but it holds so many tobacco in it. Take that pipe out of your mouth in my courtroom. The judge is just, like, insane. But, like, this trial is not a peculiarity. It's not unusual. What this trial exposes is the reality of America. I mean, like, I feel like I'm in school. I feel like all of you feel. If you want to understand what it's like to be in that courtroom, you know, because you're a student at a university, and that's exactly what it's like. You know, like in high school, you got to raise your hand to go to the bathroom. There's a teacher up there, and you can't disrupt. And, you know, and you're going to get a verdict, a grade at the end of the course, and you want to please the teacher because you want to get a verdict, you want to get a good grade. That's what it's all about, you know. What they've done is they've sent this to school. And that's what the courtroom's all about. That's what it is. It's 8 hours a day of school. They're trying to give us a job, because that's what we're doing. We're rejecting eight-hour days, rejecting jobs, rejecting school, rejecting careers. And we're on trial because of who we are. And this, as I see it, everybody in this room's on trial. And we all got to act like defendants. And if they're able to put the eight of us away, what they've done is they've said something to everybody in this room. What they've said to the people in this room is that if you act up, we're going to put you on trial and send you away too. And this trial has become a trial between the generations. And like, I think it's a crime that the country didn't burn down when Bobby Seale was put away for 4 years. I think, first of all, people should understand that Bobby Seale was not part of the conspiracy. There was a conspiracy. Of course there was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy to demonstrate in Chicago. If you call demonstration riots, then there was a conspiracy to riot in Chicago. Bobby Seale came in for a couple of hours, gave a speech, and he went out again. But the government indicted Bobby Seale because they're out to destroy the Black Panther Party, because they're out to destroy any party that mobilizes against the government. So they added Bobby Seale as the eighth person in this conspiracy. And then Bobby Seale asked for Charles R. Gary to be his attorney. Now, according to the rule books, the law books, which nobody follows, of course, everybody has a right to his own attorney. And Bobby Seale has had Charles Gary. The Black Panthers have had Charles Gary since the Panther Party was formed. And they went before Julius Hoffman and asked for a postponement because Charles R. Gary is 63 years old and was told by his medical doctor that if he didn't have an operation of his gallbladder, he would die. That it was a very serious operation that had to take place immediately. It was a simple operation, but something had to come out that was in. And that if it didn't come out, he was going to be a dead man. And so we went before Judge Hoffman with a doctor in the courtroom with a medical certificate, and we asked that the trial be postponed for 6 weeks so that Charles Gary could have his operation. And Judge Hoffman said, there are many fine attorneys in the United States, and you can choose any attorney you want. You have a right to an attorney, but you do not have the right to Charles Gary. The trial will start on September 24th. So then on September 24th, Bobby Seale decided that he was not going to be railroaded to jail. And he was going to stand up, and every time his name was mentioned, he was going to say that he wanted to defend himself or he wanted the trial stopped until Charles Gary could be brought back. Now, everybody's got a right to defend himself in court, so we hear, unless you're black, unless you're a black revolutionary, unless they want to silence you. And so even before a shred of evidence was introduced into that courtroom, Bobby Seale stood up and asked for the right to defend himself in the trial. And the judge said, no, you have an able attorney in William Kunstler, and he's your attorney. You cannot stand up and speak in this courtroom. So it went on for a couple of weeks with Bobby's name being mentioned and Bobby leaping to his feet and saying, I want the right to defend myself. Then finally Bobby said, and if I don't get the right to defend myself, this is a fascist, racist court and you're a pig. And Judge Hoffman must have flown in the air about 5 feet. He just went, shh. He said, you called me a pig? I have done more for your people. Check the record. I have done more for your people. You used to call yourself Negroes. Now you call yourselves black people. But I've done more for your people than any other judge in this state. I was the first judge to desegregate the schools of Illinois. That's what the liberal judge Julius Hoffman said. So Bobby continued to stand up and said, you're a racist, you're a fascist, and you're a pig. And finally, since every time Bobby stood up, the entire courtroom focused in on him and he was speaking such truth that the trial couldn't proceed, the judge finally said, see the jury, every time Bobby stood up, you should see the racist on the jury. We got one juror, looks like George Wallace. She hasn't looked at the witness yet. She just looks straight at us with total hate. And every time Bobby stood up, she grabbed her purse and started running into the small room. We called it the yo-yo jury. It's going out every 5 minutes. So finally, after the jury was out, Judge Hoffman said, take that man into that room and deal with him as he should be dealt with. And Bobby was brought into the room and brought back with his hands cuffed, with his legs chained, and with a piece of tape across his mouth, and sat into the courtroom. The jury was brought back in, and the judge said, resume the trial. Everybody, of course, is looking at this man sitting in the courtroom, chained and gagged and sealed. So it went on for about 5 minutes, and through the seal across his mouth, you could hear Bobby say, I want to represent myself. And of course, everything stopped when we heard that little voice. And the judge dismissed the jury, and he called the marshal over, and he said, this contraption isn't working. Can we get a better one? And so they took Bobby into the small room, and they brought Bobby back with something over his head, over this way and that way. And this time they brought him in a wood chair with straps all around. And as he sat there, it looked like a man who was in the electric chair. That's what it looked like. Just sitting right there. But you know that it's impossible to gag somebody. That no matter what instruments the government can try to create, it's impossible to silence somebody who insists on speaking. It's impossible to silence somebody who insists on speaking up for his rights. And it's just like the Panthers say, that the technology that the pig can create is not greater than the power of the people. And Bobby Seale continued to speak under the gag. And so finally, Judge Julius Hoffman, Adolf Hitler Hoffman, sentenced Bobby Seale to 4 years in jail for speaking up in the courtroom to defend himself. Now, you got to dig how evil that 4 years is, because the contempt law says that if a judge sentences somebody to more than 6 months for contempt, that the accused has the right to a jury trial. Because otherwise, a judge can take out vengeance on anybody, sentence them in jail for 10 years, and the judge can do it out of personal hatred, personal animosity, prejudice, whatever. So if it's over 6 months, you have a right to another judge and a jury trial. But to get around that, Julius Hoffman sentenced Bobby Seale to 3 months in jail on 16 different counts, which added up to 4 years. Well, and Bobby Seale still faces charges on the crossing state lines with intent to riot. Now, what? I can't hear you. No, the trial is going to begin in April. Bobby will probably be back in the courtroom next week as a witness for the defense, and you know, we'll see what happens then. But I hope people don't relate to this as a horror story or shame or anything like that, because Bobby Seale does not need any mothers. You should see this jury, I'm telling you. You would not want your life to be in the hands of those 12 jurors. One of them is a, we had hope for one of them, because he was a Skid Row, unemployed house painter. He's a wino. He lived on, you know, he came to court that day, you know, with a dirty white shirt and sort of hambled in, you know. It was great. Get him on the jury. 10 days later, he had a new black suit, a new pair of glasses, stood erect, and he looked like a member of the ruling class. See, the suit was paid for by the United States government. You dig the jury. The jury really is in jail. The jury can't fuck, can't read newspapers, can't watch television, can't go to movies, can't discuss the trial with each other. They stay at the Palmer House Hotel, can't talk to their relatives. They must be going batty. And they sit there and they don't utter a word. How do they do it? I think they're mummies, you know? Mummies carried in and given shots or something. They just sit there all the time. We're gonna go to the Republican National Convention. We're gonna put LSD in the water, wherever it is. That's what this fucking country needs. Everyone should take acid and clear everything up. Get into a new reality. You know, they had cops in front of every water main in Chicago because they thought we were going to put LSD in the water. All they had to do was check with a scientist that at that moment in 1968, it was technologically impossible to put LSD in the water. Of course, it's possible now. We got mad scientists working in underground laboratories. Getting ready to put LSD in the water. And we're gonna run a pig for president again, because that's who belongs in the White House. That's what it's all about, running a pig for president. Huh? That's who's in the White House. That's who won in 72. That's who won in 68. The pig won. You know, and the pig's gonna run again in 72. Why take half a hog? You can have a whole hog. See, I think that it's a war of genocide against the people in this room. That our parents and teachers and businessmen and cops and pigs and all are trying to get rid of us. The country's totally built and we're not needed. We're excess material. And they gotta get rid of us. Now, how do they get rid of us? They got a perfect solution. They got the final solution. They create enormous buildings and they call them schools. And they tell all the young kids, you gotta get an education. You gotta go to school. You got to work for degrees. You got to get grades. You got to be a good student. And so everybody as a kid gets brainwashed, and they believe that you get educated when you go to grade school, high school, and college. And so that's the way that they get you off the streets and get you out of the way. Schools are nothing more than babysitting agencies. And everybody right now is just a prisoner of a super babysitting agency. I mean, why are people in school? Is it for a degree? If it's for a degree, you're being conned. Because the yippies give out free degrees. I mean, professors are the fucking enemy. Who wants to be a professor? We got to free ourselves by taking over the campuses and using them for things that are that mean something to us. Because we didn't create this country, and this country is doing harm to billions of people across the world, and we're not going to live the miserable lives that our parents lived. We're going to create something new. And that's what the revolution's all about. It's a generational revolution. You see, we're winning the kids of the ruling class. That's what's so funny. Like, the prosecutor brought his kids to the court one day. And man, the kids are laughing at what's going on and waving to us, you know, identifying with us. You think the whole thing about Spiro Agnew, you know, was one of his daughters was caught smoking pot at a boarding school. And it was all hush-hushed, and charges were dropped, and Spiro, you know, got it all cleaned up. But she smokes pot. His other daughter, Kim, 13 years old, wanted to march in the moratorium. Spiro Agnew said that parents have to exercise discipline and enforce respect upon their kids, and he was going to forbid Kim from marching in the moratorium. So he locked Kim up in the bathroom that day. A dying society turns toward punishment and fear to try to silence the people that are out to change it.